Well, good morning, Evanston Avenue Baptist. How are we doing? This side of the room is doing slightly better than that side of the room, but we'll be praying for y'all on this side of the room. It's very good. My friends, I am so excited this morning. I know that a lot of us were out at Unity Christian Music Festival. We had a great time. I know Team Sharp, we are dragging this morning, but it was worth it because we got to worship Jesus with 15,000 brothers and sisters in Christ. It was absolutely fantastic. God did some really, really cool things. I'm slightly deaf again. I went to the spotlight stage and watched Christian rap with my son. I'm recovering, and I just came to the conclusion that I indeed am an old guy now, because I'm looking at this going, I don't understand why this is fun, but it's all worth it to watch my son getting fired up for Jesus. Amen? So the really good news that you can see, obviously we have a little different setup this morning. Our band is not up here, and I'm just excited beyond measure because this morning is our Teen Challenge Sunday. Amen? Very cool stuff. And so we're going to have these guys leading the service for us. We're going to hear some great testimony. We're going to hear some awesome music. And most importantly, we're just going to hear the awesomeness of how our God changes lives. Amen? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to turn it over to these guys. They're going to take us to the throne of grace. Does that sound all right? That's where we're going. About halfway through, we'll do our announcements, we'll do our greeting, we'll do our offering, but I want to make you guys aware before we jump into the service that, again, in your bulletin, there is a love offering envelope. So if you would like to give a special offering to Teen Challenge, that's what the envelope is for. Otherwise, our regular offering will take place. It all goes into the same plate as it goes by, but anything the love offering, we give to these guys. So I just want to make you aware of that before the plate goes by you. All right, otherwise, I'll spare announcements to the end. I just know my God is good. Amen? This is the day that the Lord has made, and the command is, let us rejoice and be glad. Okay, two people here are rejoicing. Okay, this is a command from God. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen? There we go. Let's pray. Father God, you are great. You are awesome. You are amazing and wonderful, Father. We ask that the lips of children and infants declare your praises this morning. Lord, we ask that your Spirit move mightily through us because you are a great and awesome God. You are a loving Father. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. We thank you for the hope and the promise and the reality of eternal life that we have through him. Lord, we thank you for the way that you change our lives. You take us from who we are, and after we meet you turn us into the people you would like us to be, that we may reflect your glory to the world. So Lord, we thank you for all that amazing work you do simply because you love us. So Father, this morning be glorified by your people, and we ask for a huge blessing in the name of the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus, in the present, powerful, and risen name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. All right, would you guys please lead us to the throne of grace?
Amen. I'm a little tired. I didn't go to Unity last night. I went Friday night and other, but I tried not to go last night because I didn't want to be tired this morning. But praise God. It's good to be with you this morning. My name is David Russell. I'm one of the pastors at Teen Challenge, and I've been working with the ministry of Teen Challenge for 26 years now at the men's facility. I've worked at the women's facility, both my wife and I. Used to supervise over there, currently the men's program director, but I travel with a group of ladies on Sunday. Our women's supervisor doesn't go out on the road. So I want to introduce these ladies to you here in just a couple of minutes, and just I want you to hear from them what the Lord has been doing in their life since they've come to Christ. There's a scripture that I was doing my devotions this morning that really stood out to me. And it says that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. And I remember when I was younger and I grew up, I knew about the Lord, but I ran from the Lord. I ran from the church. And because I kind of thought the gospel was kind of foolish, like, I don't need that. And you read that scripture that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. So I must have been perishing if the gospel was foolishness to me. And to a lot of people, they do. You try to preach the gospel to them. You try to give the gospel of Christ to them, and they just think it's foolishness. They don't think that they need that in their life. But we need to let them know that if that's their view, they're perishing. That they're going to perish, and they're not going to make heaven their home. We get a lot of people who come into Teen Challenge, and they will tell you, I was perishing. I was dying out there. That they knew that if they probably would have died in the state that they were in, they may not have made heaven. And only God knows that. But when we resist God and we sin and we turn away from God, we're on a downhill slide, on a downhill slope. And so, young people, I encourage you to take heed to what your teachers are saying here at Sunday school and what your youth pastors are saying, what your pastor's saying and preaching. Take heed to that word of God. I wished I would have listened when I was younger. I would have saved myself years of heartache, of brokenness, of pain, suffering, and so on. But in 1991, I came into Teen Challenge. I was a broken man. I was a defeated man. But I met Jesus Christ at an altar at Teen Challenge, and I really gave my life to Christ at an altar. And he changed my life. He transformed my life. And what he did for me 26 years ago, he's doing for these ladies right now who are currently in the program. God is so changing their lives and transforming them. Western Michigan Teen Challenge here in Muskegon was founded by Pastor Phil McLean. He was pastoring a church in Whitehall, Michigan, and he read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, by David Wilkerson, and he said after he read that book, it was like God just began to speak to him and tell him, this is what I'm calling you to do. And so he began to pray and seek the Lord. He resigned the church he was pastoring up in Whitehall, and he went out and he began witnessing right over here in Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. He would go down on the beaches down by Pierre Marquette Park and down on the beaches. And back in those days, there were a lot of people out there, mostly hippies back then, and they were partying, they'd be drinking and getting high and so on. And he'd go right to them and he'd begin to witness Christ to these people. And a lot of people began to get saved. Pastor actually become pretty well known by the police department and everything else. And when there was crowds of people gathering in these parks and beginning to party, they'd call him up and say, you can go down there or we're going down there. And they'd give him a chance to go in and begin preaching the gospel to these people. And so they began coming to Christ, and he saw a need to start a center right here, a Teen Challenge center, and that was 47 years ago. And we opened up a women's facility in 1971 and a men's center in 1972, and it's grown to be just a wonderful ministry. It's saved thousands of lives. We've seen a lot of people come to Christ. But we don't only just try to lead them to Christ, then we disciple them after Christ. We teach them the Word of God. We teach them how to take it and how to apply it to their lives and how to walk it out. And nobody's forced to be at Teen Challenge. They have to want to be there. And when we interview them, we're like, are you ready to surrender? You know, are you ready to give God a chance in your life? Are you open to the gospel of Christ? And if they are, we have them come in and we begin the discipleship process. If they never knew Christ, we lead them to Christ. Maybe they known of Christ, but they never committed fully to Christ. So we lead them to that saving knowledge and relationship with Christ. But then in our chapels and in our classes, we really teach them the Word of God. And not just to get a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge and how to apply it to their lives and how to walk it out every day of our life. You know, Jesus overcame the devil and the temptations through the Word of God. Whenever the devil came at him with a temptation, he said, it is written. He would quote the Word. He quoted the Word at the devil to defeat him. And we're teaching our students to do that. The Scripture says, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we're teaching them how to get that word down inside of them. These girls got a lot of verses they got to learn. We make them, and I tell them, I've heard people say, I can't memorize. I'm like, hold on a minute. You can memorize your favorite song, can't you? Sing me your favorite song. And they'll be, I said, how did you memorize that? Well, I listened to it over and over and over again. I said, then you can memorize the Word of God. You just go over it and over it and over it and over it. You repeat it until you get it. And so they learn that word, and they get that word down in their heart. When students come in, their first 4 months in the program is what we call lower growth. They're learning basic Christian development, what it means to be a Christian, and so on. They get the Gospel of John. They get several other classes that they're taught in lower growth. Then they go to upper growth. Their last 9 months in the program is 4 different Bible classes on a 9-month teaching rotation, 4 different teachers, and they're getting many, many of the books of the Bible in upper growth and so on. So they're really getting the word poured into them day after day after day. After a student's been in the program for 4 months, they get a 1-day pass off grounds. Their family can come pick them up and take them off grounds. But we send somebody along as an escort just to make sure that they're going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. At 6 months, they get another 1-day pass. At 8 months, they go home for 3 days, and that's unsupervised. They get a 3-day pass, and they have to be back 72 hours from the time they leave the center. And then they get a 5-day pass at 10 months. And the reason we give them those passes is because now that they've been in Teen Challenge 8 months and 10 months, they've got some Bible under their belt. They know the voice of the Lord. What are you going to do when you get out there now and temptation comes your way or you see one of your old friends? They have to take what they've learned and apply it and stand on the word. And a lot of them come back and say, man, the Lord really helped me, or man, I'm not ready yet. It's crazy out there. I need more. But it tells us and it shows them where they're at in their walk with God. And they also, if they're married at that 4-month mark, instead of a 1-day pass, they can take a 24-hour pass with their spouse because we want to see God working in their marriages too. And then after that, they get a pass every month with their spouse. Towards the end of their stay, their last month in the program, they go home once a week, and they're with their spouse. And so we like to see their families strengthened and united. But we're going to start off this morning. By the way, if you want more information, out in the foyer, we've set up a display table out there. We've got brochures out there that fully describe Western Michigan Teen Challenge, has our daily schedule in it. On the back of that brochure are the phone numbers to Teen Challenge, to the Men's Center and to the Women's Center. Also, our web address is on there. If you'd like more information on the program, you can call that number. If you know someone that needs help, you can put that brochure in their hand and say, hey, I know where you can get some help, and introduce them to Teen Challenge. So feel free to take some of those brochures and check out our webpage. We also have a monthly newsletter that we put out every month. Talks about what's going on at Teen Challenge. And if you'd like to get that newsletter, you can get it by email. You can give us your email address, or you can get it in the mail. When you get that every month, just remember the ministry of Teen Challenge and remember to pray for the ministry. And we also have some wristbands out there. If you kids want a wristband, tell mom you want a wristband. We got some wristbands out there and so on. But if you'd like to get that newsletter, please contact one of these ladies after the service. Diana's going to be out at that table. Go talk to her. I want to introduce these girls to you. And I don't know if all of them will get a chance to testify, so I want them to tell you their name and how long they've been in the program.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm from Lockport, Illinois. I'm 28 years old, and I've been in the program for almost 7 months.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm 49 years old. I'm from Whitehall, Michigan, and I've been in the program for 8 months.
Hello, I'm Stephanie. I'm 27. I'm from Tennessee, and I've been in the program 5 months.
Hi, my name is Anna. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm 23 years old, and I've been in the program for 6 months.
I'm Mackenzie Williams. I'm 21. I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I've been in the program for 12 months.
I'm Diana. I'm 29 years old. I'm from Murray County, Georgia, and I've been in the program for going on 10 months.
I'm Jackie. I'm 29. I'm from Muskegon, Michigan, and I've been here for 4 months now.
Hi, I'm Marcia. I'm from Ohio. I'm 45. I've been in the program 3 months.
My name's Stephanie. I'm 32, and I'm going to graduate in 19 days, and I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
From Murray County, Georgia. I'm a long ways away from home, away from my family, but the Lord brought me here. I started using drugs at the age of 13, and I could go into detail of all the terrible things I've done or the horrible things that have happened to me, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm just going to tell you guys how good God is. I have two beautiful babies at home that are waiting for me, and I've been in this program for going on 10 months. It's the longest I've been sober in 15 years. And God is so good. He's restoring my family to me. He's just, he's given me a home. When I leave here, I actually have a home to go to raise my babies in. And the Lord is just so good. I came into Teen Challenge crawling on my knees, and I spent the the best part of my life searching for something, trying to fill a void, trying to find love in all the wrong places. But I found that. I finally found that in God, and He's so good. Thank you guys for hearing my testimony.
Amen. Hello, church. I'm Stephanie. I'm from Kalamazoo, and I'm graduating, thank God. I grew up in a pretty broken home. Both my parents were addicts, you know, and I knew better than to dabble in drugs or, you know, start going down that path, but I didn't listen to myself even. I just, I started using like 18, but by the time I was 23, I OD'd, and they didn't know if I was going to make it out of that. That happened a couple of times, but it never scared me. I never cared, you know, about dying or, cause it, that never was, I don't know, I'm sorry. I didn't care about that. It's so crazy that I think about that. But when I look back now, I know the Lord had His hand on my life and that I'm going to do something so much more better than what I was doing. I now, am graduating. I'm having a daughter soon. And since I've been at Teen Challenge, I don't no longer have to carry around that shame, that guilt, or that torment from the devil. I am free from that. I have so much freedom and joy, you know. We laugh so much. It's so, you know, being here is so cool because now we have these relationships with these ladies, like good Christian relationships, and I didn't have that before. You know, even in my family's all addicts, you know, but now I have these good people, and Teen Challenge are just so awesome, you know. They pour into us every day. They're just amazing people, and thank you for hearing my testimony.
Good morning, church, again. I was raised in a kind of a broken home. I was put into foster care at a young age, and grew a lot of bitterness and anger towards biological family and to God. But through the years, I carried that and through everything and kind of put it under the rug. And at 17, it finally just exploded. I started going down the wrong path. And through everything, you know, I mean, I got pregnant at 17. My biological mom passed away on drugs. And that still did not get my attention to turn my life around. And a year ago, I found myself in the hospital pretty much, you know, about to lose my life, and I finally cried out to God, asking Him, you know, to give me one more chance, you know, to be the person I was supposed to be, to be the mom I was supposed to be. And I called my adopted mom and asked her, to bring me to Teen Challenge. And it took about 4 months before I completely surrendered everything to God. But, you know, each day He just completely sets me free of, you know, the bitterness I had, the anger, the resentment, you know, the shame and guilt I carried. And, you know, it's just amazing to see how far He's taken me since the day coming in till now. And you know, within, I have, you know, 19 days till graduation. It's like I'm getting nervous to, you know, I'm nervous to go back out there to face, you know, those things. But Teen Challenge is amazing because they teach you how, you know, to come against those temptations. You know, the verses Pastor Dave was talking about, there's a lot of verses against temptations and stuff, and so it's just amazing. And so thank you for hearing my testimony.
Hello, my name is Anna again, and I'm from Detroit, and I was raised in a pretty strict environment due to my mother not being around that much, and my dad was absent completely from my life. So since I was raised in a strict environment, I started to rebel, and that rebellion grew and grew. I started to rebel against school, my authority, society, and I ended up getting into drugs, and that's one of the ways I was rebelling, was through drugs and alcohol. And I ended up getting addicted and just fell into a very deep, dark thing. And the Lord had His hand upon me the whole time because the devil led me places to kill me. And He just had His hand on me and protected me. There was times where I was completely blacked out and in places I didn't even know, but the Lord always brought me out of that, and I knew that. And I grew up in church, but I didn't understand until I came to Teen Challenge that I don't have to do this alone, that the Lord comes in and he comes and lives in me, and his strength and his power is what is able to help me to walk in victory and freedom. And that's what I am learning right now, and he is renewing my mind. I came into Teen Challenge with this thought that I had to do it myself due to the strict environment that I was raised in. I thought I had to do this myself in my own power, but not anymore. He's the one that is helping me, and he's giving me victory. He's renewing my mind and my family, and just I'm so grateful and so thankful. And thank you all for supporting Teen Challenge, and thank you for hearing my testimony.
I'm going to ask Pastor to come back up. Pastor.
Good stuff. Amen? Amen. All righty. Well, now before they keep going, before they really get into their thing, we need to take care of just a couple of housekeeping things, which I know is an incredible letdown after hearing amazing stories of transformation. Sorry. We have to do that. So a couple quick things. First of all, young ones, we love you. Thank you so much for hanging out. We appreciate it. But you guys are actually dismissed downstairs for kids' own worship. Go ahead and boogie down that way. Everyone else, what we're going to do in just a moment, we're going to say go ahead and shake some hands real quick. Please say hi to these young ladies and this gentleman here as well. But we do not have an announcement video today. We want to make sure we give these guys as much time as possible. So be sure to read your bulletins. A couple quick things. Just by way of reminder, we'll take, you know, it would probably be easier to take the offering right now, wouldn't it? Amen? Okay, you all said it, so there we go. Let me pray. I'm going to invite the ushers to take the offering after I pray, and then I'll cover a couple announcements, and we'll shake some hands real quick. So, Father God, we love you. We praise you. We know that you have blessed us with so much, Lord. You have given us the very breath in our lungs. And, Father, even when we give back a small portion of what you have given us, we do it because we love you. We do it because we trust you and because you are a good God. So, Father, we just ask now that you receive these offerings in the spirit with which they are given. Lord, please continue to provide for Teen Challenge and the amazing work and ministry that they do in your name here in Muskegon, touching lives all around the country, Father. We thank you for them as well. Father, we ask that you would continue to stir our hearts during this time as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so while the offering is being taken, a couple of quick announcements. Number one, if you're a guest, if you're a visitor, we would love to connect with you. If you would like to connect with us, there's a connection card in your bulletin conveniently located next to the Teen Challenge Love Offering envelope. Shameless plug. But if you want to fill that out and just leave it on the pew as you leave, that'd be great. If you have any prayer requests for us that you would like the elders and myself to be praying for, just put that on there as well. Also, in your bulletins, we have a couple of things coming up that I want to make sure are on your radar screen. And I realize, even as I'm saying this, I am not nearly as much fun or as cool as the video. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. But I want to keep this in front of us. September the 10th, second Sunday in September, we are having a combined community worship and community picnic for the Sheldon Park and Oakview neighborhoods. We have five churches. We're working on a sixth to partner together with us to say, hey, we have lots of things that can divide us theologically, lots of heritage that is different, lots of tradition that's different. But the thing that we can unite in is Jesus Christ, and we want that unity to be a witness to our community around us. We're going to invite the neighbors to come and have some great food. We need your help. We will need your help. We just had our final planning session with the pastor, so I'm going to tell you right now what you need to do, and I know that this will stretch us as Baptists, because we love good food that will kill you slowly and make you die happy. Amen? I love that about our church. Most of the time, yeah. But here's what we need from you guys. We need food that is finger-friendly. So bags of chips, cookies that can pick up, fruit. Because we're expecting about 400 or 500 people. We're at least 5, maybe 6 different churches. And I do not want to be responsible for you losing Tupperware. So what we're looking for is all the food that we have is stuff that we can hand out and throw stuff away. We don't have to worry about which church did what or anything. So we're looking for bags of chips, cookies, apples, single serve stuff. So that's what we're going to ask you guys to bring. The churches are providing the meat. Please bring something else so we can show a lot of love to our community. Amen?
Amen.
I have one more thing. This is the challenge to some of you. on Wednesday night, we have a service and a opportunity, a chance to show some love to the city of Muskegon. So I'm looking for volunteers. I'm going to leave this very, very cryptic. We need about 10 to 15 people who are willing to walk and willing to carry and willing to be nice. So you can assess among yourself, which of those three am I bad at? If it's being nice, come talk to me. We'll pray. But we have that opportunity on Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon. So I'm looking for any volunteers. And all we're doing is we're saying, we are Evanston Avenue Baptist Church, and we love you. If you are interested in communicating that message to our community, I'm going to be right up over here after the service. Please come and find me. I will give you details then. Sound good? Okay. We're going to spend about the next 4 minutes shaking hands, getting to know each other, greeting one another in the name of the Lord. Are you guys all right shaking some hands and getting to know people? Excellent, because I just threw you into it, whether you are or not. So, very cool. Could you guys please stand? Could you please greet each other in the name of the Lord? Thank you. All right, my friends. Normally, this is where our video plays to remind us to grab a seat, but go ahead and grab a seat. We want to make sure to let our friends from Teen Challenge come on up, guys. We're going to turn the rest of the service over to them to hear music, to hear testimonies, to hear a little bit of the Word of God, of course, and ultimately just to hear the good work that God is doing through Teen Challenge. So are you guys ready for a little bit more?
Yes.
Judy is. Awesome. So, all right, my friends, continue, please.
Stephanie, I'm from Tennessee. I grew up in a very broken home. My mom raised us girls, three of us. She was a single mom working two jobs, trying to put food on the table. I found my own identity in what people thought of me. If you thought I was fat, then that's who I was. If you thought I was ugly, then that's who I was. I didn't know who I was or what I was. At the age of 16, I just wanted to fit in. I felt so alone, abandoned, neglected. In my home, we didn't say I love you or anything like that. So at the age of 16, I started drinking. And then the first guy that told me he loved me introduced me to cocaine, which led to an eight-year stretch. I couldn't wake up one day without the drug. I didn't think that was possible. I was okay dying as an addict because that's what I wanted to do, you know. I didn't care anybody but me. I was 4 months pregnant, and I went to go find out the sex of the baby. and they said that he had passed away. So I quickly turned to crystal meth, and I was so hopeless, and I was homeless, and I was just so broken and torn and beat down. I just didn't see a point in living anymore. So I found myself into a church that accepted me and loved me for where I was and who I was, and they led me to Teen Challenge. And since then, I'm 160 days clean. I never thought was possible. And I have Jesus in my life now. Thank you for listening to my testimony. And I also get to go home and be a mom to my six-year-old daughter who's waiting for me to get better. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Hi, I'm Lisa. Like I said, I'm from Weehaw, Michigan. I never started drinking until I was 35 years old after a bad marriage. It just was the place I fell to. And I had lost my mother, my brother to alcoholism, another brother to drug addiction. I wasn't going to be that person, but I ended up being that person. I got into a really dark hole, and after an umpteenth time of trying to kill myself, my sister came and she rescued me, brought me here to Teen Challenge, and God is just so wonderful. I've been a diabetic since I was 17. Since March, I've been insulin dependent, or I've been without insulin, which is like, I was told I was never gonna be without insulin, but so praise the Lord. My kidneys are 100%, my liver's 100%, and God is just so good, and thank you for listening to my testimony.
Good morning. Again, I'm Tamara. I'm 28, and I'm from Lockport, Illinois. I started going to church at a young age. I actually gave my life to the Lord when I was 8 years old, and I was very active in the church. My mother, she was an addict herself, and I knew that she loved me, but she was broken, and I knew that, you know, she was battling her own demons. I stayed pretty active in the church until my teenage years. You know, I started following the popular crowd, and I just wanted to be cool and hang out with the cool kids, you know, and I started experimenting and started partying, and since then, the devil had been in my ear, you know, and I tried to commit suicide when I was 16, and I think since then, you know, I had just, like, slowly started believing him, and by the time I was 21, you know, my bondage and my sin had me so wrapped up, I didn't know who I was, and for 7 years, I just, you know, just fell into that lifestyle, but I knew that, you know, I wanted to be happy again, and the only way that I could be happy was, you know, to get my life back right with Christ. That's, you know, who I felt. I knew that I was who I was supposed to be when I was with Christ. And so my aunt led me to Teen Challenge, and since I've been here, he's restored my family. You know, I have like a peace and a joy that's, I can't even explain it. You know, it's so just natural, and I just love the Lord. You know, he's doing a work in my heart and in my life. You know, he's changing my mind, the way that I see things and the way that I love people. You know, just want to love on everybody now. And thank you for hearing my testimony.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I'm 29. I'm from Muskegon. I grew up in a pretty broken home. There was a lot of mental and physical abuse from my stepdad. My mom worked a lot, and he was gone kind of a lot. But I just started drinking and smoking things, and that helped me feel better. It numbed the pain I felt from everything. I lost my grandma, which I was close to, when I was pretty young. That's where I would run and hide to. My stepdad introduced me and my brother to like other drugs. I started overdosing pretty young. I've overdosed a lot. I've been in and out of the hospital and jail, and I didn't know God at all. When people would talk about him, I would just push him away. I've been through a lot with that. Like, and then when I first got here, I didn't even want to read the Bible. It was new to me. I was scared. And now I can't go a day without reading it, or I feel like I'm not with the Lord. And the way I feel with him, like, it's so indescribable. I tell my family about it, and I just want them to feel what I feel. And it's just overpowering. And it's better than any high I've ever had. And it's just, I can't wait to see how my life is going to be now that I have him, because it is truly amazing. And anybody that doesn't know the Lord, I just hope that they come to find him, because it's amazing. I can't describe it, but thank you.
Good morning again, church. I'm Marcia. I'm from Ohio. I had a pretty good life growing up. But I lost my father when I was young, and then I lost my mom, and I drank socially, but it wasn't like nothing major until I got older, and then I started drinking more and more and to drive away the pain. I lost everyone in my family except for one sister. That hurts. And this recently, my brother passed, and I was drinking more than I should and hurting myself, and that's when my cousin stepped in and said, we need to go get you some help. You need to go find God. And brought me here to Teen Challenge, and I was still angry when I got here, but I'm learning. He is teaching me to love my sisters, and I am worthy to be here, and I learn something new every day. And without him, I don't know. He saved me. I don't know what's going on, but I feel really good right now. So, but thank you.
Was that your first time giving your testimony?
Yes,
and you didn't pass out. Isn't that wonderful? I thought I was going to have to catch a girl one time. I handed her the mic, and she was just, her knees locked. Praise God. She made it, though. She made it through. You know, the scriptures tell us we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony is how we overcome. And we're teaching our students to be overcomers. And the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's what it's all about, is conquering sin. And our students learn that you can live for God. You can live a life without those bondages and that sin and that addiction and so on. And if you ever get a chance to come to a Teen Challenge service, we're having Sunday night services there now, because a lot of churches aren't having Sunday nights. And even where we were taking our students on Sunday night, they stopped having them. And so our pastor decided to start having some Sunday night services, and a lot of people have been coming. And but one of the things we really, you know, teach our students is, you know, to be in the Word, to be in good fellowship, you know, within the house of God, and to maintain a prayer life. And that if you will do those things, and that goes for any Christian. That's not just for our students. That's for me. That's for any Christian. I have to stay in my Word daily, still to this day. You know, been saved and serving God, and God's kept me all these years by his grace. But I know it's a lot easier to be kept if we're keeping up the maintenance of our Christian life. And that is to stay in the Word. We're to be devoted to the Word of God, and love the Word of God, and prayer, and then fellowship. You know, and I think a lot of times we need to learn to develop a prayer life. That was strange to me coming to Teen Challenge, was to pray. We pray for a half hour every night. And I remember when I got to Teen Challenge, you know, and I grew up in and around the church. I mean, my grandmother was the organ player at the Four Square Gospel Church when I was a little kid. I used to sit on the organ bench with her when I'd go stay with Grandma. And so I grew up knowing the hymns, and I grew up knowing about the Lord. And she'd put me down in the Sunday school classes, and I learned all of that stuff. But until I came and gave my life fully to the Lord at the altar at Teen Challenge, I didn't understand how to be kept and how to walk with God, how to stay with God. But there I learned a habit of prayer. Every night at 6:30, you'll find our students praying for 30 minutes. And I remember when I first came to Teen Challenge, and that was part of the schedule, and I'd go in there and I'm like, 30 minutes? You pray for 30 minutes? How do you pray for 30 minutes? I was like, oh my goodness, that's a long time to pray. You know, what? You run out of stuff to say, or you know. And I remember that, and I started to think about all of the things that were broken in my life and all the things that I needed fixed in my life. And then I started thinking about all the people in my family and my brothers and sisters, and I started thinking about other things that I just needed to see God do in my life. And after a couple months in Teen Challenge, pretty soon 30 minutes wasn't enough. They'd be flipping the lights, and I'd be like, hold on, I'm not done yet. You know, oh, God. And just crying out to the Lord, learning to pray and have a prayer life. When you have a relationship with somebody, you talk to them. I wouldn't have much of a relationship with my wife if I did not talk to her. I better talk to her, right? And it's not a one-way conversation. I should respond when she's talking to me. Sometimes I don't, and that's not good. She'll be saying, did you hear a word I said? Did you say what? You know, she's like, how do you do that? You zone out. It's not on purpose. I'm a man. I'm sorry, you know, to apologize. But I'm like, okay, tell me again. But a relationship is based on communication, communicating with the one you love. Well, God loves you. And if you love God, you learn to talk to God. You know, my prayers always used to be, oh, God, if you get me out of this, I swear I'll never do it. You know, that was my prayer life, you know. And I only prayed when I was in trouble. Well, God doesn't want to just hear from us when we're in trouble. He wants to commune with us. He wants to talk with us. And Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourself to prayer. Devote is a strong word. We're told to be devoted, and devoted means loyal. It means faithful, committed, and constant. That's what devoted means. And we need to keep alert in our prayer life. We have to be alert in prayer. I remember when I first came there, like I said, we'd start praying, you know, and I'd be down like this for a half hour because I ran out of stuff to say after 5 minutes. And I'd be, you know, I'd go out. I'd fall asleep in prayer. But the Bible says, be alert in prayer. Be vigilant. Be sober. You're not doing much praying if you're sleeping. You ever been talking to somebody and they doze out on you? It happens a lot now between me and my dad, but I give him grace because, you know, he's 82. You know, but I'll be talking to him, and he'll be talking to me, and I'll be in the middle of a sentence, and I hear, you know, look, going, he's gone. It's like, okay, he'll wake up 5 minutes later. What? It's not much of a conversation when one person's sleeping. We can't have conversations with God if we're sleeping on God. We need to be alert in our prayer life, alertness and vigilance. Jesus came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. He asked them to come and pray with him for an hour. He wanted to go pray. He was at the most desperate point in his life. He knew what he was about to face. He knew he was about to go to the cross and die, and men were going to beat him and mock him and spit in his face. He knew they were going to lay stripes on his back. He knew they were going to drive nails deep into his hands. And it says he was greatly troubled over this. And he called in his most inner circle of his disciples. He said, come and pray with me. And he went off a little further from them, and he comes back and he finds Peter, James, and John sleeping. And he looks at Peter and he says, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Now remember what Peter told Jesus just before they went off to pray. He was so bold as to say to Jesus, even if everybody else deserts you, I will not. I'll never leave you. He said, I'll die with you if I have to. He was bold. Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. He said, I'll never do that. He was bold in his statement. Peter didn't know what he was about to face. He didn't know the trial that he was about to go through. Jesus knew, though. That's why he addressed Peter when he came back and asked him, could you not watch 1 hour with me? Can you pray for an hour with me, Peter? Peter didn't realize what he was about to go through, and he told them, to keep watching and praying that they would not enter into temptation. He said, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. You got a willing spirit to serve me, to be my disciple. You got this willing spirit that says, I'll go with you to death. But Peter, your flesh is weak. And if we're not praying and prayed up and in tune with God, we're going to give in to the flesh. We're going to fail in a moment of testing and trial. The other thing is to stay in the Word. If you want to know how important it is to read the Word, just meditate on Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 119 is all about the Word. It's all about the Word and how precious the Word is, how valuable the Word is. And we need to love and have a love for the Word. If you're established in the Word, sin will not have dominion over you. You need to love the Word. His Word is truth. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The third thing as Christians we got to maintain is fellowship. You need to be right where you're at here every Sunday or Wednesday nights or Sunday school. Whenever the doors are open, we need to be here fellowshipping and communing with one another, because there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. We need each other. There's no lone wolf Christians. You can't make, there's some who try to be. I've even had people say, I don't need to go to the church. I can have church at home. Well, yeah, you can commune with God at home. That's true. But the Bible tells us, don't forsake the gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, we need to maintain fellowship, we need to maintain prayer, and we need to love the Word if we're going to make it in our Christian walk. That's what we're teaching our students at Teen Challenge. That if you'll do those three key things, you'll make it as a Christian. You'll make it as in this world if you will maintain those three things in your life. And I've heard it time and time again. People call me, talk to me. Pastor, I'm struggling. I'm really going through. You got to pray for me. I'm struggling in my walk with God. And those are the three questions I ask. Well, are you going to church every time the doors are open? Are you in fellowship with God's people? Well, I got a job now. I got to work on Sundays. I can't make it. Well, I know why you're struggling, or one of the reasons. Are you in your Word? Are you waking up every morning and doing devotions before you walk out the door? Are you praying? Are you communing with God every day the way that you need to commune with God? And I find it's usually one of those three areas or all three. And I say, I know why you're struggling. And as Christians, those three key things will keep every one of us. If we maintain those things in our life, we'll live for God. And when the devil comes around to tempt us, tries to deceive us, put something out there, if we've been doing those three things, we're going to be strong in the Lord. And we're going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil when he comes at us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Sorry to keep you ladies standing, especially this poor lady. She's 5 months pregnant, and I got her standing up here. Oh, my. She's a trooper. We want to close with a song this morning. And I want to thank you as a church for your continued support of the ministry of Teen Challenge. We rely on churches just like you to keep us going. We don't accept government money and finances because we don't want government rules along with that. And we totally rely on God's people. And God's been so faithful to us over the years to maintain our center. But I want to thank you for being behind the ministry of Western Michigan Teen Challenge, because our students are a fruit of the church. They're a fruit of your giving. But we want to sing a song this morning that talks about how much we love Jesus. Will you take that mic over there, Diana?
You can.
Thank you, ladies. Before I give you guys the benediction and send you out, I just want to read one passage of Scripture as a challenge to us as the church, because we have, at least the years that I've been here, we've had a rally team from Teen Challenge every year, and it's always extremely encouraging to me. I hope it's extremely encouraging to you. But it's also easy for us as the church to hear the story now, to hear that I've been clean for this many months, I've been clean for this long, and that's when it's easier for us. But the painful part, the difficult part for us as a church, for us as Christians, is on the other side of that, before people have met Jesus and before they've been transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And then that's when it's a mess. And it's real easy for us as Christians to go, see you later. Come back when you're better. And I want to read you this passage, and this is how Jesus founded his earthly ministry when he stood up in his hometown church and he unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the wealthy and comfortable." Does your Bible not say it that way? No. And to bring into comfort those who are comfortable. Your Bible doesn't say that either. No, because what it actually says is, because the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Where do prisoners live? In their shackles. They're not here, my friends. And so for us, and it goes on, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I just want to challenge us as a church that if we are serious about being witnesses of this Jesus, then we need to go to where people are held in bondage. We need to go to where people are spiritually blind. We need to go to the place where they are oppressed and say, "I have the key, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you in your mess, you and your mess, come to church." Because I guarantee you, you both won't leave. Your mess will die on the cross, and Jesus Christ will leave with you. And let us continue to be the church that says, we love hearing the stories of transformation. We love seeing the end result. But we will also be the church that says, you and your mess are welcomed, because my God is bigger than your mess. Because I know that God was bigger than my mess. Can I get an amen to that, please? Let us continue to be that church, and so that we can add more and more people. So thank you guys for being part of the cloud of witnesses that spurs us on to be the body of Christ. I just want to pray a blessing over you guys. I want to pray a blessing over us, and then we're going to head out. Please check out the table. Some of them are going to be back there. If there's anything I can pray with you about, I'll be up here. And also, just the challenge, if anyone, we need about 12 to 14 people, if you are willing to do a little bit of physical labor, to get maybe a little dirty, and to show a whole bunch of people that Evanston Avenue Baptist loves Muskegon, I'm going to be right up here. Like I said, I need about 12 to 14 people for Wednesday of this week. Details over there. Okie dokie. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We bless your name. We thank you for ministering through us, to us through Teen Challenge. Lord, we thank you for the amazing work that you're doing in so many lives there. Father, we pray for more. We ask for more. Father, may more of those who are captive be set free. May those who are oppressed be liberated. And Father, may those who are blind find their sight. Lord, we pray for everyone who is lost. May they be found. We thank you for your deep and abiding love for every single one of your children, for every last human being that has been made in your image, and how deeply you love and care for all of us. Father, may we at Evanston Avenue Baptist, may we be the church that welcomes people and their messes into this place at the throne of grace, where they can meet you, Jesus Christ, the risen and powerful Lord and Savior. So, Father, continue to move in us to be that church that demonstrates your love to the world around us. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. We ask for a blessing on Teen Challenge. We ask for a blessing on the ladies and the pastor gathered here to bless us. And, Father, Lord, may your message just continue to advance in Muskegon and around the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guys stand so I can leave you, send you out of here with a blessing, please? Because my God is good, because our God is faithful, I leave you with these words. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful unto you, and in every possible way, may he give you peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.